Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And it's nice. It's nice to not only be back at Love Sport during the week, because it's been a little while since I've been here, but also to see some familiar faces and some new ones. We've got some new ones. So it's nice to see the legend of the Back of the Nest podcast that is DR.
Thank you. It's nice to see you.
It is nice, isn't it?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. And we've also got a new face for both of us this evening. It's Jake, and we're meeting...
James.
We're meeting James. It's Jake and James meeting for the first time this evening. How are we enjoying being part of the Love Sport Crystal Palace Fan Show?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a few months now, and it's been going really well. There's a good crowd here, and I like working with DR, despite you know what you were saying earlier. And...
he's unique.
Yeah, he's funny.
he's one of those ones that you maybe don't appreciate at the time. You know, I've been away for a while, and I've generally missed it.
Yeah.
So hopefully, we used to do 2 hours, didn't we?
Yeah.
So within that 2 hour show, we often had a room for what we called a DRism, where within a conversation, completely by accident, he has no idea he's doing it most of the time. He drops in something, and you go, what? Hang about, DR, what did you just say? And it's just a unique take on your life. So hopefully, maybe over the course of the next hour, we can have a little catch up. We'll find out how your fitness is going.
Yeah.
So I think that was the last time we did a show where you declared that running was not good for you.
Yeah.
Because you went for a 5 minute run and it hurt your chest. So you declared running bad for you? Yeah. No, he said so.
Poor thing.
It wasn't that he was just unfit. It was that running was bad for you. Okay.
It was the first.
It was. It is bad for you if you run too much at the start, and that's what I done.
Okay. So if you run too much at the start because you're unfit.
Yeah, but it's still bad for me.
You didn't stretch, did you? You didn't warm up properly.
He did
properly.
Absolutely nothing.
No, nothing.
You know, but the answer to this already.
I didn't run for that long. That was the thing. It was like a mile. So that's nothing. And yeah.
Have you been out since?
Yeah, today I was out.
Mega. And how much for?
No, but I wasn't running. I was playing basketball and football at the same time.
Okay.
So yeah, that's why I was kind of late here. But of course, you didn't see that.
No, I didn't.
But yeah, I was
out. I would
out.
Never have known if you'd said
yeah, exactly.
nothing.
I was out of energy. And yeah, I couldn't make it.
Chest hurt?
A bit, but it's calmed down now.
Okay. It's good to know.
How on earth do you play basketball and football at the same time?
We played basketball till 11. We played basketball till basically who goes first to 11, and then afterwards we played football till who scores 11 goals.
Okay, I understood it that you were doing two sports in one time.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Exactly. I was trying to visualise that
foot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I would hate to be in goal if you're playing you're playing with a basketball.
It would be handball every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I've got a blister, actually.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So you're off uni at the moment, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got 8 months to yourself to just play football all day.
I've been enjoying it so much.
Just loving life.
Yeah, summer.
Students. Jealous, man. Yeah. Students.
I'm enjoying it, I have to admit.
It does make me jealous. Let's talk about it in Crystal Palace, shall we? Officially, now, because of today's news, Newcastle United are the only Premier League side not to have signed someone. Are we excited? And I know the answer already. You've signed Stephen Henderson today on a season-long loan from Nottingham Forest as a backup goalkeeper. It's a body through the door. Thoughts?
That's about all I can say, really, at the moment.
I mean, I realise this isn't going to be a 20-minute discussion here on Stephen Henderson, but thoughts on that news today?
I mean, the guy hasn't ever played in the Premiership. He's had 12 appearances in the last 3 years for Nottingham Forest. I can only think that if they get an injury to one of our main keepers and then he's just on the bench, they're going to be searching for somebody else in the meantime. And it's just a very, very last resort, cheap option to have on the bench.
I know about him is I just brought up the Wikipedia page and he's been on loan.
I know about him as he reads his information off Wikipedia.
He's a journeyman.
DR sources tell me.
Yeah. Is that he's a journeyman. Yeah, he actually is. He's been on loan. He's pretty much been on loan for the whole of his career, and I think he knows that he's going to come to Palace and he's going to be third choice goalkeeper, so competition is good, I guess. If Hennessy or Gaeta gets injured, someone's still there that is a professional and has had experience at all levels, really. He's played at Bristol City, York and Portsmouth and now Palace, so he's just been everywhere, so he has lots of experience. And getting him on loan isn't the biggest loss.
Well, it's obviously not a loss. But I do find it strange, because you do have goalkeepers who carve out careers as a complete, you know, backup third choice goalkeeper, where you're effectively just paid to train.
Yeah, that's...
It must be weird that clearly he's a decent goalkeeper. Clearly he is.
Well, I'm not too sure about that. Well, he's been on loan, and there's been times where he hasn't even played games.
I know, but he's played a fair amount of football within kind of the Championship and League One. You'd imagine at the age of 31, for some of the clubs that he's played for, he could be a number one for a very decent League One football club, which must be so much more fun, surely, DR, playing for a League One team week in, week out, than coming and just training at Crystal Palace every day.
Well, I guess the money speaks. That's it, really.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation, because even at Palace, he's not going to be second choice goalkeeper. He's third choice. It's pretty much clear. As bad as Wayne Hennessy is, I doubt that he's going to be ahead of Wayne Hennessy. So I guess it's the Premier League money that's attracted him to Palace. And
money bags Palace.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. It happens. You see it so many times and around this century, basically, with Palace, not with Palace, just players and money. Most players are actually focused on money nowadays, and just part of the game, isn't it?
We're cutting back big time, I think, at Palace now.
Yeah, and I think it's the right thing to do.
And I think we probably haven't got somebody quite there in the youngster department coming through, maybe under 21.
Screams that, doesn't it?
It does. And I think we're really thinking, do you know what? We need to direct this money. I know we've been in here a few weeks now. We've talked about other keepers being sort of potential signings. And I thought...
What happened to the Brazilian guy you signed?
Yeah, well, he's gone back, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So was it just a loan?
Yeah, loan to pretty much see how he is. And he played for the under-23s.
Yeah.
And I guess the club didn't like him. Maybe they just didn't come to an agreement.
Mm.
So I think it's a case of that. But it would have been better if we signed a goalkeeper like Lucas Perry. He's still got potential to be good, but I guess experience is probably cheaper than that potential. So we went with that path, and I understand it, because we've talked about so many times that we just don't have the money really to spend on players like that.
I think Gaeta did a really good job actually last season.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to get somebody to come in to warm the bench, you know, I don't think we can afford 10 million plus on a keeper just to sit on the bench.
Honestly, don't think he's going to warm the bench. He won't be there, because Wayne Hennessy will be on the bench.
Yeah.
So it's just a fact of just warming the stands. And one of the
it's the last resort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? It's like, yeah, if Gaeta gets injured or Hennessy's injured, it's somebody there just in case. But in the meantime, it buys you time to go out there and look for another third choice keeper. I'd be very surprised if he gets on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask that. Let's make a little prediction. How many games do you think he'll play?
Zero.
I think he'll actually play two. One or two. A League Cup game.
Stick a wager on it.
Only if it's an injury or something, but I'm very, very unlikely.
Has it been a frustrating summer as a Palace fan, or has it been exactly the kind of the summer you expected?
I guess I have no real feelings towards it. We saw Aaron Wan-Bissaka, of course, and I'm not that disappointed, because the money, yes, it was very good money, and we haven't brought in anyone yet, because I think you look at the Wilf situation with Zaha, you don't know if he's going to leave or stay.
Mm.
So it's been a typical Palace summer, let's just say that, with one of our better players leaving, and also the other one, there's the potential that he could leave too.
Yeah, players have just literally in probably the last 10 days come back to training. Agents are back in the country, the managers are here, and we only just sold Aaron Wan-Bissaka within the last couple of weeks. So there will be the scouts and the manager looking around. I'm not impatient at all. I think we have to spend wisely. We shouldn't rush into things. Fullback, we have fullbacks that can play, start the season. I think we've got to be patient and see who becomes available. We know the Chelsea situation and the problems they've got in signing players. Whether or not we can still get somebody like Batshuayi, Tammy Abraham, probably not. Frank Lampard's coming now and said he's going to give them all a chance. Mm. That's bad news for us, really. I'm a bit disappointed when I read that, because I was thinking, oh, okay, that probably means that we're not going to get Batshuayi.
But the thing is, you talk about, you know, being patient. You know, it's a little bit unclear, isn't it, with Zaha, in the sense of he might have £80 million to spend, you might not. But there's it's just over 3 weeks of the transfer window, because it closes so much sooner now. You kind of do need to be hurrying along a little bit. At the very least, you need to know who, if that cash becomes available, you want to sign. Those wheels need to be in motion now, really.
I understand that, but it's a bit tricky because Zaha's not at the club right now. He's at the AFCON.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, I guess then we'll see what's actually happening with this Arsenal rumour, whether it's true or not. I personally believe that he won't go to Arsenal this summer because of the fact that we're going to demand around 70 to 80 million, and it seems like Arsenal are not willing to pay that. They bid 40 million for Zaha, which I have personally found insulting. So yeah, I actually don't see it happening.
So I saw just before we came in that they reckon that Arsenal have got up to 70 million now for Zaha. But again, like going back to your point, Jake, it would be a very, very dangerous situation for us to allow Zaha go without a replacement there, because we have got nothing up front.
No, I'm being serious here.
Yeah. Benteke has been very poor for two seasons.
Batshuayi came and he's gone back.
Batshuayi's not going to be available.
Yeah. He scored a goal.
Who has?
Benteke today,
now. Yeah, for who's it against? I mean, come on.
There we are, problem solved.
Luzerne.
But, we can't... it's not just down to the money now. It's down to, Premiership survival. We will not survive without a striker.
So, I understand that, but Batshuayi, you've said it. It's looking very unlikely. So who do we bring in? It's going to be a gamble anyways.
So it means we have to keep Zaha. That's kind of my point here, is that even if Arsenal come in with the money, I think it's slightly difficult now to say, well, yeah, he'll go at the right money. Because I think now it's not just about the right money. If Batshuayi was lined up and Chelsea were still willing to let him come on loan or sell, then fair enough. But I don't know who else is available.
Yeah, I'll give it a time limit with Zaha, really. If I was a club...
Yeah.
If Arsenal don't come with a proper bid in 1 or 2 weeks, then we can't really sell him. It's not we can't sell Zaha in the last minute, because that's just a huge risk of losing a player of that caliber.
But my feeling on the situation is that Arsenal will come back, and if they do anywhere near £70 million, whether that's 60 plus, a decent player, I feel that Crystal Palace would do that deal, because they kind of I feel like whether I'm right or wrong, you tell me if I am, that there is a kind of a gentleman's agreement there that he is allowed to go if the right money comes in. And if that right money comes in and then Crystal Palace turn around to Wilf and say, well, actually, it's a bit late in the window now, it's a no, then you're going to be left then with an unhappy player.
To be fair, that's what I'm mostly worried about. It's the fact that last week, I think it was, Zaha's brother came out publicly and said that he wants to join Arsenal. And I'm worried that things could get messy if it continues on. That's why I just want Zaha to come back to Palace to actually see what is going to happen. Because if he's going to leave, then you'll see it by the rumours popping out and whatever. And we'll know more likely. But right now, because it's at AFCON, we're not too sure what's going to actually happen. So I'm waiting on it, but I'm still hopeful that we could keep Zaha. Another thing that we have to consider is that we sold Wan-Bissaka. Selling Wan-Bissaka and Zaha at the same window is a huge risk.
It's massive.
Who's things, dear? As you said, things could get messy. I wouldn't mind Messi in the team.
I mean, if stuff could get messy between Zaha and the club. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, of course it could. You are listening to the Crystal Palace fan show. When we come back, we'll continue to talk transfers, who could come in, because we have to. We have to talk about it. There has been a couple of links. There is a suggestion that somebody is close to signing. Whether you want to get excited about that name or not, we'll talk about him in a moment. And also, you are actually in action. Have you played already, or you're playing right now?
We're playing right now.
You're playing right now. I will find out what the score is, and I'll tell you what it is after the break. Love Sport. Yeah, it's Love Sport. It's the Crystal Palace fan show. Jake Watson in for Johnny Barrow this evening. Johnny will be back next week. Some of the football is already underway. Pre-season friendlies largely, but actually there's some European action involving a couple of British teams this evening. Earlier on today, Rangers beat the Gibraltar Giants, St. Joseph's. They're actually an amateur giant side. And not only were they playing on 3G, but there was so much black rubber on that 3G. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. But it didn't matter. Rangers won 4-0. Celtic, they're in Champions League qualifying at the moment as well. They are playing against Sarajevo, and they're currently 2-1 up, around 20 minutes to play in that one. So good news for those two British sides in action this evening. Crystal Palace also in action today. It's 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
Against Luzern.
Luzern,
yeah. What do you know about this team?
I just know that they're not from UK. That's it.
I did that on purpose. Nobody knows anything about Luzern. Transfer stuff. We were just suggesting that we're not entirely sure who will come in, what the club is planning, because of the doubts over what's going to happen with Wilfred Zaha. But you did have Jordan Ayew on loan last season. It looks like he's set to sign permanently. Again, let's not set off the party poppers. you know, with regards to, to Stephen Henderson as well. But is it a body you're pleased to see return to the football club?
So, the fee's possibly two and a half million plus thousands of pounds per week wages for one goal.
But we don't know if he's going.
But what a goal!
Exactly,
what a goal! Yeah, right.
And if you actually look at it, 2.5 million is pretty much nothing nowadays. What's 2.5 million in today's market? And he's not going to start for us. If we got Jordan Ayew as a starter for next season, then fair enough. But he's there for depth. And I'm unpopular opinion, but I was happy with the limited time he's played. He had some good games and he also had some bad games. So 2.5 million, I'm willing to take that gamble with him.
James, you're not convinced,
I can't argue with the fee. I think he's only 28. So
he's got to be on 40k.
But it's the wages that get
he's
me.
Got to
it's
be.
The wages that get me. It's like, you know, why forwards are paid to score goals, right?
Yeah.
Don't get, you know, you watch him. I get the point. He does control the ball well. He lays it off. And in that department, he's better than Benteke. But he doesn't score goals. And that's what forwards are paid to do. But
none of our forwards score goals. That's the issue at Palace. None of our forwards score goals. It's not like we could say, look, Benteke scores goals, Conor Wickham scores goals, and, yeah, Jordan Ayew can't do that.
I think Conor Wickham does. I think he's just... he's injury prone. That's the problem with Conor Wickham. Zaha scores goals. He plays up front. Sorloth was a bad... Obviously, that was a bad buy, I feel.
He's actually came on for Palace.
Batshuayi was scoring goals. He was on loan, so he's gone back to Chelsea. I just think that, you know, this is silly because it's not like we're going out into the dark and getting someone we're not sure. We've actually seen him play for the whole season.
Yeah.
And his return is one goal of the whole over the whole season.
So who would you rather have?
Well, this is the thing. So if you've got a group of forwards here who aren't particularly prolific, some that you're unable to move on, some that, you know, you kind of like, they do have a role. Somewhere within there, there does need to be somebody scoring goals. And if Ayew was just alone, there was no obligation whatsoever to make this permanent, is there not an argument to suggest that, as you rightly say, James, you kind of already know exactly what Jordan can offer, that it wouldn't have made more sense to maybe spend £4 million on an unproven person from somewhere with an element of risk who's on lower wages with the hope and the potential that they're going to return more than what Jordan did last season?
Well, yeah, there is that. But, of course, I don't know what the scouts have been, who they've been looking at. And maybe that they have been looking at strikers who may come cheap and they just didn't like them compared to Jordan Ayew. It might be that case as well. Jordan Ayew, Roy Hodgson knows what he could bring to the table, so that's another bonus as well. Is the manager's familiar with the player, and maybe he may ask for one or two different things from Ayew next season, and that might be it. He doesn't really have to settle in because he knows how Hodgson plays and his style and what's expected from him. So that's a bonus, I think.
Yeah, but I mean... What does he bring to the table? Yeah, he doesn't lose the ball in possession. He lays it off, pass it, but he's not actually scoring goals. So we've got yet another striker with Benteke that's not going to score goals.
I feel like if we're looking for someone to score goals, it's pretty obvious. It's Batshuayi. But
we're not going to get him
there.
So we're in real trouble. I tell you, if we start signing players like Ayew, we are in serious trouble.
But what can you do if there's no money?
But like you said, Jay, I would go down to Division 1 and
roll
take
the dice.
And take a punt.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And where the hell do players like Jamie Vardy come from? They are out there.
Yeah, I've never understood. It's the same with a manager where you'd bring somebody into the football club when you already know the end. You already know how it ends. You already know what Jordan Ayew can do. And he's not a rubbish footballer. I know he's got a few relegations on his CV, but he was one of their better players in each one of those sides, and he did an absolutely okay job with Crystal Palace last season. And with financial restrictions of what they are, and with uncertainties around the football club, you know, I would have liked, you know, personally, to see a little bit more kind of risk and a bit of a gamble on trying to unearth somebody, because otherwise we're just going to have the same conversation every season, which I'm going to ask the exact same question now about a player that we've had this conversation about so many times, of Conor Wickham. So he started today in this pre-season friendly. How many times, Diarra, have we sat here and you Crystal Palace fans have sat here when you've done your podcast talking about Conor Wickham? And we're still sat here thinking, is he the answer? And I think, I don't know how that conversation is still happening. I don't know how he's still got another contract.
I guess it's just the fact that if he is fit, he's a decent player. But then again, that's a massive if, because every time he comes back, he's injured. And I guess we're just taking on another gamble for another season with Connor Wickham, because we really haven't got that many options. We can't just say, all right, we'll get rid of Connor Wickham, because it's not that easy. When you look at our striking options, we haven't got that many. And Connor Wickham on his day can be a very good striker. So
he's what is he?
I understand that more.
He's played,
I understand it.
What, not even double figures games over the course of the last three seasons? And again, if I'm wrong, tell me, but I believe he's on mega wages. You're talking about 70k plus for somebody you're getting zero return out of at the moment. Yes, it's incredibly unfortunate that he's had these injury problems, but Crystal Palace aren't a charity. They can't afford just be handing out contract in the hope that one day he gets fit. I don't get that. I honestly was in utter disbelief actually when I saw that Connor Wickham got a new contract.
I get it, and I'll tell you why, and I'll explain this to you. He's been back in training and he's been in and out of the team. He hasn't been injured since the beginning of the year, so he's got quite a few months under his belt, at least 6 months.
Yeah.
He's there ready. He's in the first team today for the match. He has proved in the past that he does score goals. He gives a good return. Mm. Age is on his side. I think this is key here. I think he's only 26, right?
26.
So age is on his side. Now, we don't know whether or not he got his wages reduced in return for a two-year contract rather than running down his last year. We don't know that. But if the management have seen enough of him since January in and out of training and on the bench, and don't forget he came on against Tottenham in the cup match
scored a goal,
and it was a good goal, and I thought, wow, you know, he hasn't played for, like, as you're saying, quite rightly,
a long time,
long part of 2 years.
Yeah,
I think there's enough there, and he's the sort of player that we need, because he's a strong, robust player, holds the ball up, lays it off, a bit like Glenn Murray type player. When he's fully fit, the key is, does he retain his fitness? That's the gamble. And albeit we are taking a punt on his wages, Jake, I know that, but we're not actually paying money out on a new player. So we're saving on buying a player, and we've got a 26-year-old who, in the space of the next 12 months, if he gets 10 goals under his belt, will be worth, as you know, 10 million upwards.
I guess, yeah, if you're offering him a new contract, there must be something from the medical team. You probably have... The club probably have spoken to the medical team, and there's still hope with Connor Wickham. So that's why it kind of makes sense. And hopefully he kicks on. I just want him to stay fit. Yeah. Every time I say that, next game he just goes out injured in training.
Yeah.
But if he stays fit, he's a decent player. Yeah. And I've seen Connor Wickham, all right, he's like Glenn Murray, but he can play out wide. I've seen that. I remember that, like as yesterday, Benteke was up front and Connor Wickham was out wide, and he was still good out wide. And for a player that big, he can play multiple positions and he's got a bit of talent. So he's just fit. Let's see what happens in pre-season. Hopefully he stays fit and gets opportunity.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you are aware of his stats, and I'll just do that before I do move on. Only twice in his career, when you bear in mind he's 26 and he started out at Ipswich at a 16-17-year-old, so you're talking 10-plus seasons. He's managed 30 games just twice. He's never, ever once hit double figures in a season. As a Premier League footballer, his best season has been 5 goals from over 20 games and 36 games. Yeah, you feel like there's a player in there, but I have so many question marks. But but at the same time, I completely understand when you say, almost like an Aaron Ramsey situation here with Arsenal, that yes, if you let him go, you then got to buy somebody in at £10 million plus, so does it make more sense to have him on? And I don't obviously know the details of that new contract. But look, I wish him all the very best. He did start today against Luzern. Hopefully he can stay fit and hopefully he can have a decent season. I saw some links throughout the week of this. Is it the Nice winger, Saint-Maxime, that both yourselves and Watford are quite keen on him, and it feels like this will be the man if Zaha goes, or is this somebody that we could perhaps sign as well?
It seems like someone that we could sign as well, and I'm a bit worried, I'll be honest, now that Watford are in for him. As now, one thing that you have to also consider is that the player's agent can easily say, look, Watford are offering this much for him. If you want him, you have to up your price, and we're in a position where we can't really gamble on wages for players. So I'm a bit worried that Watford are linked with him now, but if we get him, I think he's a decent player. He really is, and he could be a good addition to the squad.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that we particularly need another winger. I think there are other areas of the pitch that we would prefer to get signings for. But if it is in relation to possibly backup if Zaha goes or was to go, then fair enough. But I'm not so sure that'll go ahead, that one.
I understand what you're saying, but we always talk about strikers and now that Wan-Bissaka's left, a fullback. But winger, if you actually look at it, Andros Townsend, we overplayed him last season. You can see it in his minutes, yeah. Andros Townsend and James McArthur. We need more depth there. And
it was very settled, to say the least.
Exactly,
it?
Yeah. So if we're going to look after our players, then this could be a very good signing. In terms of competition, one, and also just rotation as well. As even if you're the best player in the world, if you're still human at the end of the day, so you have to look after your body. And it just seemed like we just overplayed Andros last season, and you could see it coming towards the end of the season. Yes, he was dropped for a couple of games, but he just wasn't 100%, and that's another thing to consider. You just have to need more depth.
Yeah, and there was at times as well, it felt like you knew Roy's starting 11 week in, week out, and there was times McArthur was playing as a wide midfielder, and yeah. Again, it's not his natural position. So it feels at the very least, if Zaha stays or not, someone could come in, but again, it's got to be the right kind of player, and it's got to be the right financial agreement, hasn't it?
And also, maybe if he comes in, there's a chance that Zaha can go up front, and both Andros and Saint can play out wide. There's also that opportunity, which takes out the basically us going for Batshuayi or going for another striker, which I guess the club are thinking. Because if we spend 20 million on Saint-Maximin, 20, 25 million, I doubt we're going to spend another 25, 30 million on Batshuayi. So it's another thing to consider. It just takes out, yes, it fills in one position, but technically it fills in two positions because Zaha can play out front.
Maybe Roy is thinking of the system, because he hasn't normally, or hasn't this season, played out and out really wide wingers. Yeah. So maybe he's thinking, actually, to get the best out of Benteke, he needs to do that and get someone that can, you know, whip the ball in decent crosses for Benteke. I don't know.
But... let's say Zaha plays next to Benteke and Saint Maxim and Andros plays out wide. And yeah, that could work. If you're looking at today's goal, it was actually a cross. Max Meyer crossed it in for Benteke and scored a header. So yeah, that's how you should use Benteke.
Tactics might have to change, but not many teams playing those systems anymore. So yeah, not sure how that would work.
Yep, 75 minutes gone in this pre-season friendly. Wayne Hennessy, according to Crystal Palace Twitter account, has just made a very good save down to his right. Still 1-1 there. Celtic, by the way, have just scored another goal in their Champions League qualifier, now 3-1 up against Sarajevo. Scott Sinclair scoring the third one there. You listen to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, Love Sport Radio, Crystal Palace Fan Show. Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. We've got DR and James from the back of the nest. 1-1, by the way, still in the Crystal Palace friendly. Celtic and Rangers in the driving seats in their European qualification games. Absolutely mental, isn't it? Early July, already playing competitive football. Some of these teams already, their season's well underway. It just feels so, so unfair. Last season, by the way, chaps, Rangers, they went 11 games unbeaten in Europe. And still didn't make it through to the knockout stages.
What?
Because they drew too many games then actually in the Europa League group. But they played 11 games because they had to go through so many qualification stuff. So 11 games unbeaten, still didn't even make the knockout stages.
I wouldn't mind that with Palace right now rather than facing Lazio.
It's because often they do it on the leagues in terms of how many qualifications you have to do. Obviously in England, the third and fourth only have to do one round of qualifying. But in Scotland, they're basically treated like the Liechtenstinian champions. And they've got to do 8 qualifying rounds, which is a little bit harsh.
Must be fun. Can you imagine away days?
What Rangers have had to play on a 3G pitch that we would play, you know, five sides on, in the middle of Gibraltar at the start of July.
That's fun.
I think the Scottish Tourist Board have got something to do with it. They just want Scottish fans travelling all over Europe, spending money and promoting Scotland.
And as well, you lose money, by the way, in the early stages of the Europa League, because you get no money. I remember years ago, when Bradford went on that incredible run in the cup, and they getting qualified for they nearly qualified for the Europa League. Sorry, but I remember their chairman talking, saying that even if we got in, we may not actually enter because we'd lose money with regards to the travel. And it's just crazy the way Europa League works. Think how exciting it is playing in Europe, but actually financially is pretty horrific at the Europa League level. But anyway, let's talk about this pre-season friendly today. It's pre-season. Do you kind of put too much on it? Do you look out for the results, or are you more just about seeing who's playing and hopefully it's not seeing if anybody gets injured?
Yeah, I think the key for me is just to see who's playing, who's fit, who stays fit, doesn't get injured, get games under the belt, maybe try a few tactics, chance to sort of, just experiment really, not really looking at the results so much. You know, there's players missing, Zaha is playing in the African Cup still, isn't he? Mm. They got through to the quarterfinals. So, yeah. So for me, it's not a make or break.
I feel like it's underrated a bit pre-season, personally.
In what sense? You think results are quite important?
Not that results are important, but if you actually look at it, is that for the players is very important and also for the management. Last season, we've always talked about Roy and his tactics, and this is a perfect opportunity to set out new tactics and try some stuff that you couldn't do last season because you just didn't have time to. And in that sense, it's important that he could try new. And also for the players, like Max Meyer, like Christian Benteke, youngsters like Luke Dreyer, it's time to prove themselves. So I feel like it's more significant than people think.
If you have a good pre-season, you can really play yourself into the manager's thoughts for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned of like a Luke Dreyer. He may have been, you know, Roy would have been aware of him. But if he comes in and takes an opportunity, he started today. You know, obviously Wilfred's away and another player's not playing at the moment for perhaps various other reasons. If he plays five games in pre-season and is man of the match in every one, suddenly he finds himself very much in the first team fold. So, you know, there is an opportunity, isn't it, for some of the more fringe players.
Also, Benteke, for instance, scoring that goal, that could be a huge confidence booster. Yeah. Like, yeah, I might be a bit overreacting, but you never know. He could score that goal and he could just push on from there. So just small things like that, I think he could contribute a lot.
The Crystal Palace starting lineup, by the way, today. Hennessy, Woods, Dan, Rydervelde, Van Aanholt, Milivojevic, Dreyer, Meyer, Townsend, Wickham, Benteke. Loads of people on the bench. Most of these people have already came on. You've got Henderson, Ward, Mitchell, Kelly, Kirby, MacArthur, Flanagan, Schlupp, Sorloth, and Daly. And the rest of the pre-season, if you're not already sure, you head to Young Boys on Saturday. Then Barnet, you're going to go to...
Yeah, Barnet
try and get
on Tuesday,
to
yeah.
And then
Barnet
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Before no, you've got Bristol City, Wimbledon. It's got loads to know. You've got loads.
Yeah,
you've got loads.
Yeah, we've got.
And Herter.
Yeah, at home. Yeah. That's
no, young boys are a good side. Good pedigree in Europe. Mm. So that'll be a test.
Yeah, but in terms of, you mentioned one name, Rydervelde.
Yeah.
He's had no chance, and he's starting today. And you know what? I'm not hopeful that he's going to be in Roy's plans. I doubt it. But it's a good time for him to show other people. There might be clubs watching him play, and it's a good time for him to prove that, yeah, I can still play football and come and get me. So that's another positive.
Yeah, he's a definite player worth getting involved in the friendlies because clearly he's got some talent.
I just hope he proves Roy wrong, but I just don't see it happening. No. He really didn't get any opportunities, even when we were playing bad.
Sometimes managers don't fancy you, do you? We don't know what he's done. He may not have done nothing, but it feels that there's nothing he can do to become a favourite under Roy.
But it must be difficult for him as well. Just coming from Ajax to Palace, and then you see what Ajax done last season in Europe, and not even having proper game time at Palace. Your confidence must go down. So another player to watch out for, really.
And you're going to go to Barnet pre-season friendly?
Well, I haven't got a ticket, but yeah.
You eye up, and did you often do that? It's a bit of a ground-hopping opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, Nottingham Forest as well. I'm not looking forward to Bristol City, I'll be honest. We always lose. We have no luck at Bristol City, but I'll probably go Bristol City. Yeah, I'm trying to go as
well. Well, you've got the summer free, haven't you?
Yeah.
Far too much money, you students.
I've been enjoying myself in other ways.
Okay. Oh, well, say no more, dear. Where's he going with this one?
I'll probably just end up at Bromley because it's just down the road.
Yeah, that's another game.
That's easy.
We've got Bromley,
me.
We've got Wimbledon. Yeah.
You were mentioning just off air that you kind of wanted to watch the friendly. Mm. Lots of people wanted to watch the friendly today. So just explain what's going on. People aren't able to watch it when perhaps they used to be able to.
Yeah, streams, as far as I can remember, last season, when the games were streamed, it was free. There was none of this, you need a membership. But now the club have introduced something where you need to get a membership to watch, for instance, the game today. You can't watch it for free. And that membership, the cheapest one available is the silver membership, which you do get other... No, not the silver membership. Sorry, the international membership. That's probably the cheapest one, £45 on top of season ticket, just to watch a pre-season game. I know it has other benefits as well, but I just lots of fans are annoyed, including me, because why can't I watch? Why do you have to monetize that?
Mm.
It's just so frustrating, personally, and I don't know. I doubt the club will change it, but there are other perks to it, of course, the membership. But the fact that they introduced the pre-season game to
within that,
within it, it's just cheeky. I find it very cheeky from the club.
Yeah, it's a bit of penny pinching probably, and I think with the amount of money that comes in, maybe they could have just allowed that one to be free, continue. But I don't know.
If it was in the UK, fair enough. Like maybe fair enough. Mm. I could, but it's not. The game's not even in the country, so I have to travel all the way to Switzerland to watch Palace play against Lausanne. Like, yeah, there have been some fans have gone, of course.
Yeah,
but why should I? Like, why do I have to pay? Yeah, exactly. It's just annoying. But knowing us, we found streams. Well, total legal streams.
Of course, legal streams. Yeah.
So people are still able to watch one way or another.
Need to take a break and we'll stop there, Diab, before you talk yourself into some more trouble. Approaching the last few minutes in Celtic's game, they're 3-1 up. And some breaking news regarding a Premier League manager in the last couple of minutes. The Sheffield United boss, Chris Wilder, has just signed a new 3-year contract to stay at the club. Great news for Blades fans this evening. Yeah, when we come back, continue to look ahead to the start of the new season. It's Everton up first. We'll have a little chat about them next.
Love sports.
Hey, welcome back to the Crystal Palace fan show. Jake in for Johnny tonight. We have got DR and James from the back of the nest until 9 p.m. this evening. We were talking about Wilfried Zaha earlier on. I feel like we've kind of exhausted that for the time being. Yeah. We really don't know anything more. And as he is at the African Cup of Nations, we don't expect really any movement for the time being. We do, of course, know that Aaron Wan-Bissaka has joined Manchester United. And we also know that potentially, if a Zaha deal was to happen, Arsenal could offer a couple of right-backs in exchange. Yeah. Callum Chambers and both Carl Jenkinson have been linked as a potential player plus cash deal. Has there been any kind of suggestions or rumours or enough links of right-backs to replace Aaron Wan-Bissaka, or do you think it'll either come from someone within the squad to take his place or maybe one of those players in a Zaha deal?
I still think we need a replacement.
Yeah.
Unless there was a scenario which I was... Joel Ward can play centre... Yeah, even that. Me personally, I see Joel Ward playing centre back in the long term. Some people are saying that he can't jump the head balls, but
I'm sure he can jump a little bit.
Yeah, so he can still jump the head ball. But in terms of right back, we haven't got anyone there. It's just Joel Ward, and if we go out and really play Joel Ward as a first choice right back, then I'm very worried. But then I'm also worried about the players that we were linked with, such as Carl Jenkinson, because I don't see that as an upgrade to Joel Ward. It's just getting another Joel Ward in the squad.
I think we've got Joel Ward, we've got Kelly, who can play right back, and I'm interested to know who's playing right back tonight.
We can't quite work it out.
We're trying to work this
starting lineup, and they've now changed everyone, so if somebody's watching,
yeah, please let us know
legally and can let us know.
Interesting. Might be one of the youngsters, so it'd be very interesting to see whether we've got another potential Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
If you're looking at the actual lineup, it was Sam Woods, and as far as I know, when he did play, he was playing centre back, and it doesn't look like a right back when you look at players physically. Just don't see it in playing a right back. And Martin Kelly, you mentioned, yes, he can play right back, but I really don't want to see that happen, because in the Premier League nowadays, you have to be able to attack and defend. And Kelly hasn't got no attack at all.
He did score against Tottenham away in the cup.
Yeah, but in terms
1-0
of
away.
Yeah, but in terms of
running, he's not a marauding wing back.
I'll give you that.
So that's the only thing I'm worried about. And Joel Ward, of course, he can't really do that. But it's better than Kelly.
I think Wardy's good. I like Wardy. I think he'd do a good job.
He's a good squad player, but not a starter.
Mm. There was some links earlier on in the summer, a couple of weeks ago, regarding Norwich's Max Aarons.
He's gone. He's signed a new contract, so it's very unlikely.
He signed a new 5-year contract today at the football club. Literally, by the way, every single Norwich City player now has signed a new contract in the summer. Literally every single
They're
one.
Smart.
Well, yeah, they were on small contracts, and they've been rewarded for that shock promotion to the Premier League. And again, I think they were somewhat insulted by a £10 million transfer.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Arsenal bidding 40 million for Zaha. Yeah, I admit that was a kind of embarrassing.
It was.
£10 million for Max Aarons.
The two players that Arsenal could potentially throw at you, you've done Carl Jenkinson, I tend to agree. I think people like Carl Jenkinson as a player. They like his commitment to Arsenal. They do, and he has come across well and as a nice guy, but you know, let's not just hand out contracts to Premier League footballers for being a nice guy.
Exactly.
The other player is Callum Chambers.
I like that.
Exactly. So he's played 100 plus games in the Premier League. He's still very young. He's played for England. He played very well for Middlesbrough the season they got relegated to centre half. He was Fulham's player of the year last season, playing as a holding midfielder. He's played for England and Southampton as a right back. So he's young, he's versatile, he's a decent player, and it doesn't look like he's going to have an Arsenal future. Or certainly, if they're really desperate for Zaha, he feels like a bargaining chip to be had.
So.
How would you feel, first of all, about Callum Chambers as a potential to come in?
Potentially, yeah. I think that's something that could be part of a deal. We're going to be paying pretty high wages for a player that's had 100-odd games in the Premiership. Do we want to spend that money, or a considerable amount of the money that we've got back from Wan-Bissaka on a right back, when we may feel that we need to direct the funds more appropriately in other departments of the gate of the team, which will hopefully, you know, score goals or produce better results? If the deal was right, yeah, fair enough. Good player, but he's gonna cost. I don't know how old he is. Is he getting on?
I think he's about 23.
Really, so he's still a good age then. He's got age on his side.
He broke through so young.
So I like that. I think that we have to start trying to get players that we have a sort of a value to sell on if we need to, and we can get our money back on them.
Exactly, yeah. He's still got potential for growth. And Roy Hodgson, yes, we've criticised his tactics before, but for instance, with Wan-Bissaka, he helped his development and helped him ease into the team. As some people forget, there were games where Wan-Bissaka wasn't playing, such as Stoke away. He dropped him because he didn't really trust him, and it's just all part of the development. So if you bring in Callum Chambers, he's got talent there already, and yeah, you could grow him into a good solid right back, even though he can play centre back as well. So that's both positions really filled out.
Yeah, 24 years old, played 167 games across his career with Southampton, Arsenal, Middlesbrough, and Fulham. So I'm going to throw hypothetically a deal at you. How would you feel about £50 million straight up cash plus Callum Chambers? Because he has to be rated £20 million.
No, I'm sorry.
He has to be.
I still wouldn't do it.
But what do you want?
If it's in Zaha, I just want money.
Yeah, but that's reasonable. I think that's fairly reasonable, to be honest with you.
But
would need to have I would need to have a replacement striker lined up for Zaha, as I said earlier. I don't think we can just let Zaha go without anyone of quality coming in.
If you up the price to 55 to 60, I'm think about it, but not 50. Yeah. But that just seems too cheap as Zaha. I don't want to lose him for 50.
He's valued at 70 then, isn't he?
There's a risk that Callum Chambers doesn't play well at Palace, and he's
valued
goes
down.
There's
a risk with every
player.
Yeah, he's got 100. Yeah, but we're not talking about a player that's just got a handful of Premiership games here. We're talking about proven Premiership player who's, you just said, a player of the season at Fulham.
Yeah, and he did incredibly well at Middlesbrough as well.
So he's an established player, and you're gonna have to pay £20 million.
And you've got to understand the British transfer market the way it is. If Crystal Palace are going to ask for £50 million for Wan-Bissaka, they're going to ask for £78 million for Wilfred Zaha, then you've got to understand that from the other side, you can't expect them to do you a favour. We've just seen Tyrone Mings, who started 10 Premier League games. He's Bournemouth's fifth choice centre half. Go to Aston Villa for around £25 million. You know, I feel that if Chambers plus £50 million, it's not the worst deal in the world, because you've got a guaranteed decent player coming in. But, or as guaranteed as you're probably going to get.
If you bring in £70 million up front as cash, that's...
But you're
I'd
just going to go
that,
spend
but,
£20 million on a player as but, good as Callum
but,
Chambers.
But I'd rather spend that on a striker or a winger than
a
fullback.
You don't rate Callum Chambers, basically.
I do, though. But no, I'd rather spend that.
Yeah, okay.
I do want him, yeah, but I'll prefer other areas first. I'm not looking at fullback first.
Right, I've got you in a corner here.
But you've now got Hunt.
Because you're saying that Ward isn't good enough.
Yeah. But
and
I'll
we
rather
got
spend
any cover.
Yeah, but I'd rather spend on a striker and a winger
first.
Yeah,
but what
first
are we going to do?
You've got 100 million quid now from Wan-Bissaka and 50 from Zaha.
Yeah, but we spend so much on wages anyways. Wan-Bissaka wasn't a high earner at the club,
well,
so that doesn't really
give
impact
you that. Aubameyang, are they?
With Zaha, well, yeah, Aubameyang, but I'd rather get the 70 million, and let's say if you can get the 70 million and you can get Saint-Maximin, Batshuayi, that's a big push, but still possibility. If that happens, then I'd rather that happens than we get 50 million and Callum Chambers. And
yeah, you're a tough man to please. Hard to bargain. Yeah. let's leave that one there, shall we? Talk about Luka Milivojevic. He's been talking about what it means to be captain. Also in talks about a new contract. You love him, don't you?
Yeah, but it's a bit scary though. He's entered his last season and he still hasn't got a new contract. So I'm a bit worried about that. Hopefully he signs a new contract. He signs a new deal soon. But yeah, nothing's really happened.
Luka is a solid midfielder. He's a solid player. Very reliable, obviously a good captain.
Some say like Callum Chambers. No, I'm joking.
Top goal scorer.
I'm joking. Carry on.
and he, you know, he does a good job. Now, I wouldn't say he's exceptional. He's brilliant at penalties. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there has to be, the club has to get the wages right here, because you know you can't be going to spend, you know, the same wages you'd spend on Zay Zaha on him.
But I don't think he's expecting that. Zaha is on 100,000. I don't think Luka made a void. If he is, then that's ridiculous. But I don't think he's probably expecting a pay rise, which he deserves though. He's right to say, because he has performed and he has come up big in certain games. Which,
if he's captain as well.
Yeah, he's captain as well, and so he deserves it.
Yeah.
He deserves a pay rise. But of course we're in a position where we have to look out for ourselves, really, because we spend so much money elsewhere.
But it makes sense to increase the wages, because we don't want to have to worry about going out and buying another player that we don't know. So you're better with what you've got. And if it costs a bit more money, fair enough. I think he's still 28 or 20.
I'm not too sure about his age, but yeah, he might be 20.
Yeah, so he's still got a few years left on him. Yeah, he rarely gets injured, he's very much a regular, and a great penalty taker. So that's got to be worth another 10 million.
If he leaves on a free, I'll be very, very disappointed.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, and we've got, so let's say he doesn't sign a new contract till January, then the club really have to make a decision, and it might be a case that we sell him for ridiculously cheap. So. That's what I'm saying. Right now is the perfect opportunity. Get over and done with and then just focus on other areas.
Yep, tie that man down. Only a few weeks, as I said, until the start of that Premier League season. A quick word on Everton, because I won't see you before then. Just get your thoughts. You're going to be ready. And is Palace is at home against a team like Everton? A nice start?
Yeah, it's a challenge. Apparently, Everton fans are expecting a top six finish
every season.
So expectations
are high. Death taxes Everton fans talking about finishing in the top six.
Exactly. So I've saw that today as well. it should be a good game. It's challenging. We saw what happened with newly promoted side Huddersfield when they came to Selhurst Park in the first day. So you don't want to face a new promoted side. So. Yeah, it's a good fixture. It's not boring. It's exciting.
It's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be interesting, because we had such a poor home form last season. I think everyone is going to be praying that we get off to a good start this season. Everton is a winnable game. Yeah, it's not one of those where you just expect us to lose.
Well, it's a free hit. Yeah,
if you lose. Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's not a Huddersfield.
Yeah,
but it's a winnable game. I would say probably. If you get a draw out of it, that's reasonable. But yeah, you'd want to win that one. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Lots of pressure on Roy for the home form. He has improved, and you look at the tactics away from home.
So what does he need to do? What does he need to do tactically to change it up?
Allow a bit more freedom.
I think if he's going to struggle with strikers or getting new strikers in, I think he might have to experiment more with Benteke and try and get more crosses in. Because whatever he's trying isn't working for Benteke. Personally, I was hoping that we'd get Batshuayi in or another decent striker, and we would not worry about playing Benteke. But it appears that we might have to just keep Benteke. So I think we just have to try and involve him more in the way of crosses. I'm really hopeful.
Yes, we'll see if stubborn Roy changes his ways at the start of the Premier League season. Home game against Everton to kick things off. Look, chaps, it's time for us to go. It's been nice to see you again, DR. Keep being you.
Yeah.
You're a unique man. You're a lovely man.
You keep being you.
Thank you. James, it was nice to meet you.
Likewise, Joe.
You have been listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show. As mentioned, Johnny Burrow will be back next week at the very same time, 8 till 9 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.